Today we are continuing our New Beginning homily series. Last Sunday we asked the question, where do I need a new beginning in my life? Perhaps you have given that some thought over the last week. We also encourage you to take the first steps in that new beginning, to invite God into the process, to worship just as Jesus does in the synagogue, to plan some intervening steps or intermediary goals in order to achieve that new beginning, and also to invite God into the process, to remember that we have all been given to drink of the Holy Spirit, and that God wants this new beginning for you and for your life. Once we have started off towards a new beginning, we have to ask another question. What happens when our new beginning reaches an obstacle or a challenge? They are sure to enter into each of our lives. Perhaps we have already experienced this and are tempted to regress, to go back to the way that we knew beforehand. Our scripture readings speak to us this weekend a lot about what happens when these challenges enter into our new beginnings. The gospel that we just heard picks up immediately where last Sunday's gospel left off. If you remember the story, Jesus comes out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah. He reads the passage where Isaiah says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. He sent me to proclaim a message of glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to declare a year of favor from the Lord. And we hear Jesus today say that in your hearing, the scripture passage has been fulfilled. Jesus is appropriating all of these words of Isaiah to himself. He's saying that he is the fulfillment of all that God has promised to do. Initially, the people in the synagogue are quite enthralled at this event, but today we hear how the tide changes, the mood changes. Because Jesus invokes these stories from the Old Testament of Naaman the Syrian and the widow in Zarephath, both of whom were Gentiles. And Jesus reminds the people that God performs a miracle for these Gentile people while not performing a miracle for the Jewish people, saying that God can bestow his blessings wherever he chooses. And this is too much for the people in the synagogue. They become enraged at this notion, and they drive the Lord out of the synagogue, off to try to hurl him over a hill. I would say that this is a pretty significant challenge to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So what happens when we encounter a challenge, when our new beginning runs into an obstacle? And I think St. Paul, in the second reading today, gives us the key. The second reading today came from the first letter to the Corinthians, and perhaps is one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture to have ever been written. St. Paul is speaking about love. He says love is patient, it's kind, it bears all things, endures all things, hopes all things, it never fails. St. Paul here is speaking about a very specific type of love. He's not speaking about sentimentality, the sentimentality that perhaps comes along with Valentine's Day, you know, the chocolate hearts and the teddy bears and all that kind of stuff. St. Paul here is speaking about self-sacrificial love. He's speaking about the love of Jesus, the love that drove him to become man for us, to take on human flesh, the love that brought him to the cross, to offer himself as a sacrifice for all of us. That is true love. No one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, as Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel. So every new beginning takes a little bit, or maybe a lot of bit, of this self-sacrificing love, a willingness to die to oneself for the sake of something greater. Maybe we thought about some new beginning that we need in our family or with a member of our family. You know, when it comes to that, when we reach an obstacle, we may realize that we have to swallow some pride or admit to something that we did wrong. That is self-sacrificial. That's a little bit of dying to oneself. Maybe it's in regards to our health and our health habits. Giving up maybe something that we enjoy a little too much is self-sacrifice, dying to self. You think of all those New Year's resolutioners who show up at the gym on January 2nd. Today's February 3rd. I wonder how many of them are still left. That is dying to yourself for the sake of something better. Maybe we thought about our life of faith, that we need a new beginning in our relationship with God or with Jesus Christ or the church. There's an adage in business that if you're not growing, you're dying. Maybe we have to admit to some laziness or apathy in regards to our faith, to die to that little bit of ourselves for the sake of a new beginning. So new beginnings require dying to self for the sake of something greater. So we might ask ourselves today, do we have a plan for the challenges? What are we going to do when we step out on this new beginning and we encounter an obstacle? The first thing I would say is not to give up. Jesus didn't. He encounters this obstacle in the gospel today, and he doesn't wipe his hands and say, I'm finished. Next Sunday, we'll hear how he goes from this event and chooses his first apostles. He's really going to ramp up his ministry as opposed to giving up. That dying to ourselves is going to be necessary in our new beginning. Secondly, we remember that we always need to go back to God, perhaps continually go back to him as the source of our strength. The prophet Isaiah in the first reading, Jeremiah in the first reading today says that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's God speaking to us. God knew us before we even came into existence. And he promises through Jeremiah that he will topple every obstacle that comes in our way. And maybe when we come against a challenge, we might have to readjust our course a little bit or come up with some more intermediary steps to help us move towards that greater goal. We have to have a plan for how we're going to attack those challenges that come against our new beginnings. Today, I am asking for a bit of a new beginning of another kind, a new beginning in regards to the annual appeal for Catholic ministries, which is formerly known as the Archbishop's Annual Appeal. The name was changed this year so that it might more accurately reflect what the appeal does, which namely is supporting the ministries and the outreaches of the Archdiocese. I have been very frank with all of you about my feelings in regards to the current challenges which face our church, how I have been astonished by the lack of leadership on behalf of those who have been entrusted with the leadership of the church. But I have been heartened recently by the actions of our own Archbishop in saying that he and his auxiliary bishops will be subject to the lay review board, that they will have the power to investigate any complaints that come in against them, be they moral or ethical. I think that's a good sign, a good beginning to see a change of leadership, and I'm very hopeful with those few beginning steps. So today I'm asking you to consider this annual appeal for Catholic ministries, not for the Archbishop, not for me, not for the Archdiocese, but for the people who are directly affected by the monies that are raised from this fund, namely the clients of Catholic Charities, the students in our Catholic schools, our efforts on behalf of vocations and seminarians and many more, and really even our own parish. We depend on the rebate that comes back to us as part of our operating budget each year. So I would like us to take a look at the envelope, which you can find at the ends of your pews. Those who are sitting at the ends, if you could pass them to folks who are in the center. And I would ask that one member of each household take a look at this envelope. Even if you're not able to give today or you have given to the appeal via mail, on the front of the envelope, you'll notice that there is a scan code. If you would like to use your smartphone to contribute to the annual appeal, if you have no idea what that means, please just disregard that. For those who do know what that means, I give you my permission to use your cell phone in church this one time. So we can open the flap of the envelope and look at the pledge form inside. And I would give you now some time to fill in your name and address and contact information. Please don't forget the name of our parish, St. William of York, or if you belong to St. Agnes, you can put St. Agnes there. If you belong to another parish in the Archdiocese, you can write your parish's name down there so that they can receive credit for your gift. I would ask us now to take a look at the gift box in the upper portion of the envelope and consider the amount that you wish to give. Your pledge will be billed over 8 months, and there's no need to provide a down payment today unless you choose to do so. In the event that you wish to contribute an amount other than the ones indicated, please refer to the line that says other and indicate the full amount of your pledge. Now please look at the lines provided on the lower right-hand side of the pledge envelope and indicate the total amount that you pledged on the first line. In the event that you are making a down payment, write the amount of the down payment on the next line. Subtract the down payment from the full amount and note the remaining balance on the pledge balance line. I'll give you a moment to select your payment option and include your credit card information if you so choose. Please note that you can check the box below the credit card information that will tell us to bill you in 8 monthly installments or to process the full amount in one payment. If you have already made a gift to the 2019 appeal or do not wish to give at this time, you can check the appropriate box in the lower left portion of the envelope. When you have finished, you can tear off the pledge card and place it in the envelope with any payment, if applicable. Please seal the envelope, but keep the pencil separate, and the pencil can go back at the end of the pew, please. The pledge card can go into the offertory basket when it passes you by in a few moments. If you need some more time to consider this, you're welcome to take this card home with you and bring it back to church with you next Sunday. As always, I thank you for your generosity to our parish and in so many, many ways that you are generous that allows us to continue the work of the gospel. Thank you so much, everyone.